well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome back to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad you're with me on the program today. I am glad to be back after a week away. It was not as restful a vacation as I was hoping for, but it was productive. And that is the next best thing. So, first of all, thank you for all of the kind wishes for Missy's celebration of life. It went off as honestly better than I expected it would be. It truly was a very, very special day. A lot of her friends and family, some of her friends drove down from New Jersey, which I was not expecting. We had folks from Ohio, from Texas. It truly was amazing. It really was a testament, I think, to just how many lives she touched. So thank you again for all of the kind wishes. And I am glad once again to be back behind the microphone today, along with the rooster, who, of course, is right outside my window because he knows what time it is. He hears me talking and he wants to get involved, too. Just looking for a little. I guess he's looking for a little camera time. It's not going to happen. Not going to do it. All right. So on today's program, we are going back to the NRA annual meetings one more time. And then I think we're going to put the annual meetings to bed and move forward. But we did have a fascinating conversation with Philip Van Cleve, who's the head of the Virginia Citizens Defense League. While I was on the ground in Atlanta, ran across Phil, invited him over. You know, this is an election year in Virginia. We have every seat in the House of Delegates up for grabs. We have the governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general races all open. And right now, Democrats have a slim but governing majority in both chambers of the legislature. And they have passed dozens, plural, of gun control bills over the past couple of years, the vast majority of which have been vetoed by Governor Glenn Youngkin. And if Lieutenant Governor Winsom Earl Sears, who is running for the Republican position, or she's running for governor as a Republican, if she is elected, I expect that even if Democrats maintain control of the legislature, she too would veto any anti-2A bill that gets to her desk. If, on the other hand, Abigail Spanberger, the Democrat who is running for governor, gets elected, she has already vowed to sign things like a ban on so-called assault weapons into law. So this is a big year for Virginia gun owners. We could go from a state with pretty good, not great, but pretty good gun laws on the books to becoming East California or South Jersey. And it could happen like that. So when I ran into Phil, I wanted to get his thoughts on this year's election and where gun owners are in Virginia. Are they aware of the threat to their Second Amendment rights? Or is there this sense of complacency because Governor Glenn Youngkin has been that sort of backstop over the past couple of years? It's a great conversation about a not so great topic. Take a look and a listen.
Well, we are here in Atlanta, Georgia for the 2025 NRA annual meetings, but you know there are folks from all around the country, including, I guess, a relative neighbor, so to speak. Philip Van Cleve of the Virginia Citizens Defense League is with us. How you doing, Phil?
Good, good.
It is good to see you here. And, you know, I keep talking, probably three or four interviews that I've done already, I keep talking about what's going on in Virginia this year. We've got our off-year elections.
Not the Senate.
Okay.
At the House, yeah.
And then governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general, right? And then the House.
And the House, that's it, yeah.
And, you know, Governor Glenn Youngkin has vetoed, more than 30 gun control bills.
38 last year and 25 this year. Can add those two together. That's a lot of, but that's a lot of crap that was on his desk that shouldn't have been there.
Well, you're right. It shouldn't be there, but it is there because the Democrats are in charge of the Senate and the House. And if they win in November, the governorship, every one of those bills gets signed into law,
right?
I mean, Abigail Spanberger has made it clear. She will sign whatever bill gets to her desk. She's hanging out with Moms Demand Action. She's hanging out with Everytown. She's not shy about this. This was, you know, this woman who ran as a moderate when she was running in Congress.
Right.
She is anything but moderate when it comes to our Second Amendment rights.
No. She's trying to mislead everybody into thinking that she is a moderate. She is not. And, in fact, sadly, all the Democrats in the Virginia legislature, every single one of them is anti-gun. I haven't seen any of them go, well, you know, I can't vote. I can't support this, gun control. It's gone too far. No.
Right.
They support all of it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, even 5 years ago, when Ralph Northam was governor and he proposed that sweeping semi-auto ban, Cray Deeds, I think it was Scott Surville, right? Yeah, two Democrat senators said, well, we're not opposed to the idea in theory, but we don't like this version.
Right.
And they scuttled it.
Right.
Cray Deeds co-authored this year's gun ban bill. Right? I mean, so what do you attribute that? Because it's not like the Democrats in rural Virginia. I say it's not like the Democrats in rural Virginia. I know people who historically have been Democrat. They're pro-gun. They feel like the party has left them, so they don't vote Democrat anymore.
The party did leave them.
But on all kinds of issues, they'd probably still vote with Democrats.
Right.
But it's their Second Amendment rights to say, well, I can't. I can't vote to take my own rights away.
You know, we got back in 1995, the Democrats controlled the House and the Senate and a Republican governor. And in that configuration, we got shall issue passed. Oh, the Democrats have changed.
That would never, right. That would
No way. You wouldn't get a single vote on the Democrat side. Not one.
Yeah.
Unless it was an accident. Somebody had a stroke and hit the wrong button. Then they would get primaried out and so forth. That's the thing. The party has been taken over. The Democrat Party has been taken over by the far, far left. And it's been happening over time. It didn't happen overnight. This has been coming. But I watched them weeding out anybody that was a moderate. They got primary.
Yep.
And McAuliffe started a lot of this stuff.
Yep.
And so if you don't toe the, look what happened in the Senate. Oh, if you noticed this year, it didn't deal with guns. But Fairfax had a bill that they wanted to get casinos in Fairfax. So Senator Boyce, she is senior. She's way up there. She's been in the General Assembly forever. Senator Boyce, and Surville's above her.
Okay.
Barely. Okay. Surville's at the very top of the Democrats in the Senate. She spoke with what her constituents wanted in committee, and she spoke against the bill that would have allowed casinos. She was immediately stripped of all of her committee assignments and taken off all this stuff that she was in some powerful positions, stripped away because she didn't toe the party line. So if they'll do that to number two,
right,
they'll do it to anybody. So they're all afraid. In fact, I don't know if you've ever reported this, but in the House, they have the Democrats have one person will hold up a green flag, and all Democrats are to vote yes if it's a green flag, or no, if it's a red. I kid you not, there's video of this. They're actually doing that. That's how they're controlling everything, and they're 100%, anti-gun.
Yeah, yeah. And so this is what we're up against as gun owners in Virginia. So what is your message? Well, first of all, I know what your message for gun owners is get out and vote. How concerned are you about complacency among Virginia gun owners?
Massively. A lot of people have taken the attitude, oh, Trump won, now I don't have to do anything. Everything's okay. Well, no. Our federal laws, everybody's got federal laws, but try to open carry in Maryland to see how far you get. Most of the real gun control is at the state level.
Yep.
So the fact that you've got a president that's doing really good right now on guns, got nothing to do, they can still strip away your rights in the state of Virginia or any other state.
Yep.
So no, you got to vote. By the way, I would hope if your listeners are members of gun clubs or especially hunting clubs and stuff, that they would go to their own club and speak to members and get them activated, get them going to understand that even if you're a hunter, all you got is a shotgun and you don't care about AR-15s, that you still need to stand together in unity with other gun owners so that we can protect each other. Because you never know when they're going to be coming for shotguns too. Because ultimately the goal is complete disarmament.
Right. Yeah, it might take a while to get there.
Yes,
but
it's the goal.
Yeah, yeah.
A little at a time if we let them.
So are you working, is VCDL working on anything to kind of coordinate those efforts or reach out to gun clubs?
We are looking at that. One of the thoughts I had was to get our members, that are members of gun clubs and hunting clubs and shooting clubs, anything whatsoever, maybe even Western shooting, the
The SAS.
Yeah.
Still after shooting.
get all of those people that are members of our group, have them go out. We'll put together videos and some other things that they can present. Maybe they can, again, present to their hunt club and say, look, here's some information about why we need to stand together. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully that can spread. I'm trying to pull all this together, how we can do this. No way we'll get everybody. There's some people that just will not get off their butt. I mean, their house is burning down. If the wrong TV show was on, they'd want to sit there and watch it while their house burned down. But I mean, there are a lot of people that aren't. Even if we get a small percentage, that would be something of people that aren't active now. If we could get, you know, 10% of the hunters, even 5% or whatever, that would help.
Right. Absolutely. You know, 4 years ago, we did see Republicans sweep the statewide offices, right?
Yes.
Do you think it can happen again?
It really depends. It could, but it depends on a lot of things. So it'll be interesting to see what Trump does. You know, whether if he's real successful, maybe that will.
Right. Fearing the fact that Biden was president, did that energize Republican voters in Virginia, you think, 4 years
ago? I think it did, yeah. But unfortunately, most time gun owners are most motivated when disaster is striking.
Right.
You know, rather than getting a fire extinguisher when their house isn't on fire, they suddenly decide to buy one when their house just caught fire.
Right.
And that's not the way to do it.
No, I mean, well, listen, I mean, go back to that Virginia Lobby Day rally, right, in 2020. I mean, my God, 50, 60, 70,000 people filling up downtown Richmond. That happened after the elections. Happened after the Democrats took over the House and Senate for the first time in 30, had complete control of state government for the first time in 30 years, right?
Yeah.
And then we saw them come out. And, you know, I mean, listen, I would it be great to have 50,000 gun owners show up for the 2026 Lobby Day rally in Richmond? Sure it would. But if that happens, it means that our rights are threatened.
Yeah, we're right? too late. We're behind the power curve. We're trying to grab what we're trying to do at that point is keep the status quo.
Right.
If we turned out all the time like that, we could set the new goals. Yeah. We could get things done. We could become a permitless carry state. We could get rid of all this useless gun control.
Yep, absolutely.
We could do it, but we have the numbers if we could pull them together.
Yeah. Well, I know we'll be talking a lot between now and November about what we can do to do that this election cycle. But Philip Van Cleve of the Virginia Citizens Defense League, it is always a pleasure talking with you, sir. Hope you enjoy your weekend in Atlanta.
Yeah, I hope so, too. We'll be heading back on Sunday. But it's nice. Always been with other gun owners. Absolutely. Everybody's always nice at these things.
Well, I'm glad you could spend a couple minutes with this guy.
Thank you, Cam. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Phil.
My thanks to Phil for joining me on the program and looking forward to having him back again. Probably more than once between now and Election Day in November. All right. Right now, let's turn our attention to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. I got to tell you, this one is incredibly disturbing. Here's the headline. Toledo man accused of raping and killing his daughter has long history of violence. So long, in fact, that you do wonder why on earth he was not in prison at the time of his daughter's death. Darnell Jones Ogletree has a criminal record that stretches back more than 15 years. He has now been charged in the death of his 13-year-old daughter, Kimani Lateague. He is scheduled to be back in court on May 23rd. According to WBNS in Toledo, his violent tendencies were, quote, well-documented long before the alleged murder. Neighbors and authorities say they witnessed him spiraling in and out of police custody, but repeatedly avoiding serious punishment despite a lengthy record of domestic abuse, weapons charges, and assault. In July of 2019, for example, a woman named Angela Silva and other residents in Toledo witnessed what they described as a terrifying scene, Jones holding his wife by the throat, dangling her over a balcony, threatening to throw her off. Harold Glander was another neighbor. He confronted Jones during the ordeal, saying he yelled up to him, "If you don't pull her back, I'm coming up." Said that to Jones almost let go of her. When police arrived, they found Jones with a knife. Again, there were witnesses to this abuse. He was charged with domestic violence, not attempted murder or anything like that. And after pleading no contest, WBNS says he served no jail time. Instead, he was ordered to complete a substance abuse program. That was in 2019. 2011, when he was 19 years old, according to the TV station, he was intoxicated and screaming outside of his apartment. He was arrested for, you know, disorderly conduct. A couple months later, he allegedly tried to set fire to a warehouse in Toledo. He was charged with arson, pled down to a lesser charge, was placed on probation. Still a felony, but I guess a lesser charge than first-degree arson. Caught with a gun in 2015 as a prohibited person after allegedly shooting at a local residence. And again, he got probation, which WBNS says he violated shortly thereafter by smashing a window during a work release program. In 2017, he smashed a car alternator into another man's face, resulting in a felonious assault charge. Victim required 20 stitches. Jones ended up pleading guilty to a lesser charge and again avoided significant jail time. WBNS says his record also includes multiple disorderly conduct charges, weapons violations, threats against police officers. In May of 2019, officers found him intoxicated on his porch. He had a machete, later threatened to shoot an arresting officer. In 2022, he was indicted after he was found in a daycare parking lot intoxicated with a crack pipe and allegedly shooting a gun. He served several months in the correction center of Northwest Ohio for that incident. And again, 3 years later, he is now accused of raping and murdering his 13-year-old daughter. So there were, again, multiple opportunities to put this guy away. And instead, he received multiple plea bargains that reduced his potential years-long prison sentence to probation in most cases. And again, a matter of months behind bars in at least one case. So, you know, again, it is not usual for somebody to be accused of raping and murdering their daughter. It is unfortunately all too common for individuals to get repeated slaps on the wrist, even as their crimes continue to escalate and they make their way through the court system. The court system doesn't respond to the severity of those offenses. Instead, they, again, prosecutors offer a plea deal. In many cases, a plea deal that is too good to pass up. And the defendant takes that deal, gets that slap on the wrist, goes about their merry way, violates the terms of their probation, and nothing really happens. And so they are left with the conclusion, understandably, quite frankly, that they can get away with these crimes. And again, when these crimes escalate and the punishments do not, you know, some folks are going to see that as a green light to engage in a further criminality. And this could have been stopped. This crime that he now faces the death penalty for if he is convicted did not need to happen and would not have happened if the criminal justice system had taken him seriously at least one time before now. On to today's armed citizen story from Somerville, South Carolina, where the coroner has named the home intruder who was shot and killed last week. 42-year-old Richard Williams died from a gunshot wound at the scene, according to Coroner Paul Brothers. He says he was shot while he was illegally entering a home there in South Carolina. This was, I believe, last Wednesday, just after 1 o'clock in the morning. The Dorchester County Sheriff's Office got a call about an active home invasion. But at that point, somebody had already been shot. When they arrived at the home in Somerville, deputies found the alleged intruder already deceased from his injuries. According to local TV station WCSC-TV, the individual who shot the home invader has not been named. They say it remains clear if they will face any charges. It remains unclear if they'll face any charges. Given that this was an active home invasion, and you have the ability to protect yourself, you have the right to protect yourself, including using deadly force, when you have reasonable belief that your life is threatened, I don't think any charges are going to be filed, at least in terms of the actions that led to the death of this home invader. No word on whether or not the homeowner possessed that firearm legally. That could lead to additional charges. But, Ryan, no, this looks like a clear-cut case of self-defense. We'll keep our eyes open for any more details, but I am not expecting that any charges will be filed there. And finally today, our good deed of the day in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. Some parents and Good Samaritans down in Florida who rushed into a burning home to save a man after a school assembly there in Brevard County, Florida. According to WESH-TV, The fire broke out as parents were leaving the school after a children's award ceremony. Brandy Farr was among the parents there at Atlantis Elementary. Her son had made the honor roll, and she was there to cheer him on. And as they were leaving, she said, "That's when I saw the flames coming from the window." Pam Dufresne's granddaughter also receiving an award during the ceremony. Dufresne was on hand as well. She saw the smoke as she was leaving the building. She said it was like perfect timing. Another good Samaritan, Joel Lucas. His son was being honored for his trustworthiness. As he was leaving Atlantis Elementary, he saw another parent at a home across the street, saw there was smoke, and somebody yelled out, "Hey, call 911. He said, "I started going inside." He said the smoke was already very heavy. He said it was definitely plastic and thick. It's not like fire smoke. It was very bad. Another good Samaritan, Ashley Cloran, said they were breaking the windows as I grabbed the garden hose. So all of these parents, you know, leaving this elementary school, walking outside, seeing this, yeah, they called 911, but they didn't just stand around waiting for help to arrive. In fact, Joel Lucas said he realized that somebody was actually inside the home. He said, "I saw there was a leg." He said, I grabbed like a towel off it because he had gone inside, remember? And he said, "I put it over my face and I went and opened the door. A bunch of smoke came out." He said, "So I had to take a second." He said, "I could see like the sliding glass door and a little light coming from it. So I knew I had to make it to that door." There was a gentleman who was trapped inside. Lucas, Farr, a woman named Autumn O'Connor, helped drag the man outside to safety. Others, again, working to try to contain the blaze with the use of a garden hose. They're also searching for a dog that ran away when the fire broke out. Dufresne told the WEASH that, you know, at the time, you just do what needs to be done. Said it was an elderly gentleman. I knew he couldn't do it himself. The guys were already helping. It was just adding extra hands. That's all. Atlantis Elementary Principal Erica Back told the TV station, "The beauty of it is not only did our parents get to see our students receive an award, but now our students get to see their parents get the recognition that is deserved." Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a silver lining. Obviously, you know, you would hope that nothing like that had to happen in the first place. But in the right place, at the right time, willing able to do the right thing to save a stranger in need. And remind their kids, or maybe in some cases show their kids, that mom and dad know how to step up when needed as well. Well, to all those parents, we thank them for their very, very good deed. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms Cam and Company. I do want to thank you, as always, for being a part of the program. Thank you so much. Looking forward to being back with you again tomorrow. But don't forget to check out BearingArms.com throughout the day. We're keeping you up to date on all of the latest Second Amendment news and information from all across the nation. And if you like what you see, I would encourage you to become a VIP, VIP Gold, or VIP Platinum member. All you have to do is just sign up there at BearingArms.com. Use the promo code FIGHT, and you can get 60% off your membership. Yes, you will be supporting the independent pro-Second Amendment journalism that we're doing in Bearing Arms, but you will also get all kinds of benefits depending on what level you subscribe to, whether it is an ad-free experience, the ability to message me directly, take part in our weekly live chats. There's all kinds of great stuff, and you can learn more, again, by going to BearingArms.com/subscribe. Have a great rest of your Monday. We'll see you back here tomorrow for 2A Tuesday. Until then, be well, be safe, and be free.